But this record, like all of these 78 acetate discs on aluminum, had gotten wet, and the label on both sides of this one came off. So we'll make the dub, try to identify it after we've made them.
These ships cannot sail. These ships cannot sail because the strike of these two unions is keeping the food from reaching the ports. If these ships are held up any longer, it means that the bread supply of 45 million people will be cut off within 1 week. These people are living from hand to mouth. They depend upon weekly shipments from us to meet their minimum daily needs. This grain held up in this country by the strike of these few men means the difference between life and death to hundreds of thousands of persons. This is stark, tragic truth. If the operation of our railroads is not resumed at once, thousands of persons, both here and abroad, will starve. During these past weeks, I have told Mr. Johnson and Mr. Whitney of the tragedy that would result from a strike. They have refused to heed my warning. I doubt whether the rank and file of their unions have been told these facts. I am telling them now so that each one of them can face his conscience and consider the specter of starvation and death that will result from the course which Mr. Whitney and Mr. Johnson are following. I do not speak tonight of the situation in the coal mines of the nation, for the men are now at work, and negotiations for settlement are now taking place between the government and the unions. I am a friend of labor. You who are familiar with my record in the United States Senate know that I have been a consistent advocate of the rights of labor, at which I am the representative of 140 million people, and I cannot stand idly by while they are being caused to suffer by reason of the action of these two men. This is no contest between labor and management. This is a contest between a small group of men and their government. The railroads are now being operated by your government, and the strike of these men is a strike against your government. The fact is that the action of this small group of men has resulted in millions of other workers losing their wages. The factories of our country are far behind in filling your orders. Our workers have good jobs at high wages, but they cannot earn those wages because of the willful attitude of these few men. I cannot believe that any right of any worker in our country needs such a strike for its protection. I believe that it constitutes a fundamental attack upon the rights of society and upon the welfare of our country. It is time for plain speaking. This strike with which we are now confronted touches not only the welfare of a class, but vitally concerns the well-being and the very life of all our people. The railroads must resume operation. In view of the extraordinary emergency which exists, as President of the United States, I call upon the men who are now out on strike to return to their jobs and operate our railroads. To each man now out on strike, I say that the duty to your country goes beyond any desire for personal gain. If sufficient workers to operate the trains have not returned by 4 p.m. tomorrow, as head of your government, I have no alternative but to...
Well, that was obviously President Harry Truman in either 46 or 47 at the advent of a railroad strike.